le mobile di verità.
Testing, 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 testing.
Well, I'm okay. Let's try it. A little bit more, a little bit more. And okay. Oh, that's much better. There we go. All right.
You can hear me fine?
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Right. So we're taking oral history here at Cincinnati Mound. I'm Christopher Allison, director of the McGrill Center, and it's 106 on March 20th, 2023. And I'm with...
Okay. I'm Sister Joan Brukasik, and I have a little story at the beginning. When I was 3 years old, we moved to Elmwood Park, right down the street from Dominican University, and my grandparents were just four doors away from the university. So since I was a little child, Grandpa and I would go for walks to Mary's Shrine in the back of the university, and we'd walk around the place, and so I feel like I've known it most of my life. I also went to St. Vincent Ferrer and Trinity, which are close. And then I tried something different. I felt like I wanted to be away from home. I spent 1 year at St. Teresa's when it was in existence up in Winona, Minnesota. Then I entered our Dominican community. We always had the sisters over to Grandma and Grandpa's for supper and for parties, and I knew them from the time I was very young. And they were a delightful group to be with, always happy, joking around, laughing, and I felt like, this is for me. So I did enter our community then. That was 1955. After I left the Mound here at Cincinnati, I went back to then Rosary College, and I and a few other sisters spent 1 year living there and taking classes, various classes, so we could eventually get our degree. I had wonderful teachers. I remember that. And my focus was, at that time, was on math and physics. So I particularly remember, Sister Marie Stephen, who we had to go out and find her for class because she was digging in the gardens around the statues. But she was wonderful to have for a teacher. And I think one of my favorite teachers was Sister Bonaventure, who taught physics there for a long time. And she would give me so much personal time to learn what I was supposed to be learning. And I was really grateful for that. Never did she have to leave and leave me struggling by myself. I was only there 1 year because the rest of the courses I took, I picked up during summers, etc. And I got my degree in math there, and I hadn't been back there for quite a long time because I start teaching high school physics and math primarily. I have to put a little plug in for Edgewood, Madison, where I taught for 19 years. And I know those students the best because I was there for such a long time. Well, after that, I taught for some more years, and at one, I have to think back now because I moved around a little bit. I worked, one of our provincials called and said, Joan, I think you might be interested in this job, because I was trying to look at something a little bit different. And I had taken a sabbatical that previous year, and I stayed up at Dominican Whitefish Bay, and I went to Marquette University. And so I got certified in business management because I thought that would help me get another job, which I did. I worked in Bartlett, Illinois, which is just east of Elgin. And I was there for 9 years. Basically, what I was kind of administrative assistant and in charge of human resources. Now, this was a school for special needs children. I was not certified in special needs, but I worked mostly with the employees. And because they were special needs kids, that was not just a little job. We had 110 employees, so I was working with all of them during the time that I was there. And that was a new, different experience for me. It was wonderful. I loved the people who were working there. The kids, the children were darling. Many of them were Down syndrome kids. Well, we had a lot of crises happening. They weren't so much physically handicapped as mentally handicapped. And so that was a challenge. After that, I was 3 years. I worked 3 years at the Priory in River Forest. Mm-hmm. As part of the province team, I was secretary and treasurer there. And we were called Dominican Alley at the time. And there were Dominican sisters from various communities, which was really, it was a wonderful experience for me because we had somebody from Springfield and we had somebody from Kentucky at the time, from Oxford, Michigan, and then some of our own sisters plus the Apostolic Volunteers. So it was a wonderful assortment and we had lunch together every day so we could share stories and learn about one another. And I think that gave me a really good opportunity to really understand what the various groups of Dominicans were about. And I guess I liked them all the more because of it. They were great people to be with. After that, during that time, as I said, I was working with the province. And then we closed the province, as we closed all our provinces. I think that would have been about 2006. And I thought, what am I going to do now? Because I also had two parents who were still living. They were out in Oak Brook Terrace area, west of Chicago. And I felt I only have one sister who lived in California, so I felt the need to be with them. So then I decided some other sisters who I had worked with in Bartlett said, why don't you come to Schaumburg? Because they had condominiums there that were owned but rented out. And so I did that. I was 10 years at that place. In the meanwhile, I decided I would like to experience parish life a little bit, which I had not done because when you're a high school teacher and you're assigned different places, you kind of go to the closest place, but you can't get too tied down when you have full-time jobs somewhere else. But over there, I was very fortunate because it's a wonderful parish. After those 10 years, my friend, Sister Mary Catherine Perkins, who's also a Rosary grad, was coming back to Chicago area after 17 years working in the state of Oregon in the diocesan office. And she wanted to kind of hole out in Chicago for a little while. So I found another apartment that would be a two-bedroom one on the first floor. And actually, I was there for 10 more years. All this time doing a lot of parish work, mostly all volunteer work. But that was okay because the congregation would support what I needed to live on during those years. And I just met some wonderful, wonderful people, and especially the pastor who was pretty well known in Chicago, Father George Kane. He's still alive at 95, but he was founded the parish wanting to model after the Vatican II mandates, which we all did. And the people in the parish, I believe now there are about 2,500 people. And at least half of them are Hispanic. So we now have a pastor who, well, you have to almost have to be bilingual to work in a place like that. I am not bilingual. I'm not with Spanish anyway. And so that was a little challenge. But then we got some people to help us who were Hispanic. I did almost all the funeral work. Father would say the mass, but I would do the gatherings they'd have the night before in the various funeral homes. And then I also followed the procession and went out to the cemetery and did the prayers there and got to know those people really well. And one kind of neat thing was that I, when I do a reflection, I would always introduce myself, mm-hmm. and I would say I was a Dominican sister. And then I could see the eyes kind of popping open, and I would mention where I went to school. And after this was all over, I don't know how many people came up to me to say, oh, I went to Dominican, or I went to Trinity, wherever it might have been that I had mentioned. And they were so excited and happy that I was there. In fact, one time I did the funeral for a sister of one of our former sisters, and that former sister lived in California and was ill and could not come. So I was sort of the person that took her place, and the family was just so wonderfully thrilled about that.
Yes.
I forgot to mention when I was a
rosary. Yeah, that's okay. That's interesting.
I skipped 3 years in there. From 2000 to 2003, I was working in the education department at Dominican U at that time. Mm-hmm. I was asked by the head of the department to take this job. And I thought that would be neat. It was close to where my family was. It was a place I felt comfortable with. And, of course, I said yes. Amen. Do you want to ask me any more questions, or should I just go on with that story?
Yeah, well, that's a great story to hear. And the other really thing which you mentioned, when your time at Dominican, you talked about working with in the sciences and in mathematics. And one of the themes we want to hear people, you know, talk about is how kind of what was it like for women in sciences, you know, at that time for you as a student with, you know, the sister professors and then also your time in the education department. And I wonder if you could also, maybe the third question is, reflect on what had changed when you showed up in early 2000 to when you had been there as a student. Like, what really sticks out to you about how the place had changed? And
okay, I'll try to handle this.
Okay. I can repeat too.
I know. I must say, you know, it was exciting for me to go back to Dominican, because I hadn't been around for too long. I hadn't been missioned in Chicago. The things I mentioned a few moments ago would have been after my time at Dominican. So, I think at one point when I was there, they were building Palmer Hall, and they closed down that science, or part of that building that was the science building way back when. Although the McGreal Center beautifully took over the second floor there, as I remember, and I was there a lot for meetings with our other sisters, a group of us who'd get together once a month. But when you first go in, the campus was the same. You know, it basically was the same. And it was a beautiful campus. I always loved it out there. And I reminisce about those times. What I was doing, excuse me, what I was doing at the time was, Sister Colleen McNicholas was the dean, and she asked me to take over placing students. Mm-hmm. If you were in the education program, you needed to put in 25 hours of observing mm-hmm. in classrooms, and that was a pretty wide expanse. I can mention that a little bit later. I also was to place students for student teaching, which they were required so they could get their degree, and generally in a specific area, whether that be preschool or grade high school. I did not work with the administrative people. Someone else did that mm-hmm. facet of it. I didn't realize when I said yes what I was getting into mm-hmm. because when I said I would do it, the agreement was that I would work 4 days a week for 10 months a year, not during the summer. Well, when I saw a list of students who were going to be doing field hours and student teaching, I can't remember the exact number, but we had to be up about 500 students. And there I was on the phone calling various schools. I got some help with that, but I also knew the area, which made it a little bit easier. But, you know, would you please take one of our wonderful students for some time in the classroom or for student teaching? And I couldn't do that 4 days a week. So I must admit, I didn't argue about it. I just worked a fifth day for nothing because I felt really badly for the students who would come to me and say, you don't have my placement yet, you know, and it was, I did it as fast as I could, but you can't do them all at once. It took a long, long time, and I did feel bad about that. I went to Sister Colleen with a couple of suggestions, but I must admit that she wanted it her way, and that was kind of it. So I had first recommended that I could start placing students before the semester began if they had already signed up for the course or courses that they needed hours in with Kevin Hansen. And is Kevin still there? I think.
I don't know.
And he was there for a long, long time, and people loved him. And he kind of did that basic interviewing of the education students to see kind of where they were at and where they wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't supposed to start until they started classes. Well, that took about a month away from me. I think that I could have been doing something there. The other thing I was able to do was get a former grad who had helped a lot around the campus, mm-hmm. Marilyn Jansiewicz, mm-hmm. and Marilyn, was able to help me, and she did a lot of the other dimension was once the students were placed that we could that we would visit them right. in the especially the student teachers in the classrooms to see how they were doing. So she did a lot of that for me, and she just was a marvelous help, a wonderful outgoing person, and you know, I think all of us in the department became pretty good friends. We had Sister Rosemary Smith as our secretary, but she made sure everybody had we had birthday parties for everyone. Yeah. She was making the cake and all the fancy stuff, and we would come together, and that was really an enjoyable time there. You asked about comparing when I was there as a student. Of course, I was there as a student sister. Mm-hmm. So we were sectioned off in small rooms where I think the sisters who were there most recently also lived.
In the old convent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we didn't have a whole lot of contact with the students.
Really? Yeah.
That was kind of a stipulation we had to follow.
Really? Why was that? Do you mind me asking? Why?
Well, I think it was just kind of a general thing at that time. We're supposed to be taking our classes, studying. We got in our prayers and everything else that we were to do, plus the meetings we had to have.
I see.
And that would leave pretty little time to actually associate with the students at that time. And it was in the, let's see, that was in the late 50s. Mm-hmm. So I don't recall. I think if it wasn't all girls, it was mostly all girls at that time.
It was probably all girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have been my own classmates because, well, they would graduate. If they went from high school to Rosary, they would have graduated in 1958. Mm-hmm. And that's about when I came. So I couldn't hang out with my
your old classmates.
Friends.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yep. Anyway, but when I was there as working in the education department, it was wonderful because it was a mix of guys and gals. And really, there were very few that I had a problem with who I don't want to go there or you can't make me do this. Or, you know, most of them were very congenial, friendly. And, you know, they were good students. The only kind of discussions we'd get into is they'd walk in and say, I want to teach first grade. And I would say to them, you don't know what you're asking. Mm-hmm. It's probably the hardest grade you could teach. Now, if they grew up with lots of children in the family, that probably wasn't so hard. But I said, before you leave and get your degree, I want you to have experienced something at all the different levels. So I would look at where they had been placed. I don't remember how many hours they needed altogether, but it was 25 hours for each class. Mm-hmm. And there were probably five or six classes that required that. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I see you've been in the grade school. I think I'd like to put you in the middle grades. Well, that was what they all shied away from, the middle grades. Uh-huh. But it was so interesting because I taught 1 year of grade school myself, and that was sixth grade. Uh-huh. And I had 55 children in the Bronx. And the seats were nailed down, so you couldn't have small groups or anything. Well, I survived. I said to these kids, "You're gonna love the middle grades when you get into that section." And surprisingly, when they came back and they wanted to do student teaching, there were several of them, more than several, who said, "I think I really like those middle grades, and so I would like to do my student teaching in a middle grade." Mm-hmm. High school, that wasn't so hard because they were kind of zeroed in on a certain area that they were going to be interested in. The hard ones to place, we had students who were getting a major in art. Mm. And I had one darling lady from Oak Park, and I can't remember her name, but she would take a student year after year after year in art because she loved it so much herself. And it was in the Oak Park School District. Mm. So she took them. I had some others who said, can I just have 1 year, one semester when I teach myself, that the teacher would say, because they'd had so many student teachers.
Wow.
You know, you want to do it yourself. You don't always want to be directing somebody new at it. But that was fun. And the students were really good. They worked hard. They got very, you know, good reports. Marilyn would go around and observe them. And very few complaints, very few complaints. So it was, that part was a happy time. But I have to say, I was there 3 years. After that, I thought, I can't do this. I was just wearing myself out. And that was after I had taught myself for about 30 years. And I don't think I can keep doing this. And as much as I loved it, I knew I needed a break. Yeah. And something that where I could kind of set my own hours as to when I would be working and when I needed some time off.
Yeah.
But, Dominican, you know, basically I don't have negative things to say about the place. I think the students seem very happy there. They did a lot of things together. They really supported one another, and I even see that now as I read the brochures that come back to me still. And I was proud to say that my name got put up on the wall in Palmer Hall because I had been there for those 3 years. As far as science and math, you know, I kind of had a transformation myself, and that was in the 80s. So I started teaching some religion courses myself. Yeah. I didn't do that at Dominican, but I know that that kind of focused my attention toward doing something different, which is why eventually I joined up with a parish and tried to relate to the people that way. Hmm. Because to tell the truth, there aren't a whole lot of women in physics, although there's a lot more than there used to be. I know that even some of my previous students that I taught went into that area. And one is working for NASA. One of the girls and the boy, one of my boys is works with the NASA. He's in outside of Boulder, Colorado, and he's been doing that for years, and so I'm very proud of. Another one is headed up the radiology department at Mayo Brothers. So, but those were guys, and they're the ones that had the opportunities in those days. So it's nice now to see that more girls are given that opportunity. I just finished a book out of curiosity. And the book is called The Other Einstein. And the other Einstein was his first wife. And no reflection on you, but they said she was far brighter than he was. And she did a lot of the mathematical work that he put forth for his, you know, for all his work. And she never got credit for anything. And women and men approach things differently. You need both of them, really, the men and the women, but it's a different slant to the story when depending on who you're working with. So I'm always encouraging the girls to get into something like that because I think they do have a lot to offer, but so do the guys. So.
Yeah, but you're reflecting on kind of what I wanted to – that's what I was kind of wanting your reflection on that about being a primarily women's college, you know. And how you encourage them to stay in the sciences and, or how you were encouraged to stay in the sciences.
Yeah.
And you were. So you were switching things up, of course, but.
I spent my longest time, of course, at Edgewood.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful principal, Sister Kathleen O'Connell. I think the whole time I was there. She was just great, and she would encourage me. In fact, I'm a little disappointed because I probably could have published something that I didn't. But when I was there, it was 1970. It was part of that time when they first landed on the moon. Mm. So I took my physics and my math, and I wrote a course in astronomy. Mm. And I taught that both there and in Whitefish Bay. Mm. Yeah, we had boys and girls, and I particularly wrote it for the average kids, not the, my physics students were not in that course, but, and Sister Kathleen said, oh, why don't you go and get yourself a telescope? So we had classes at night outside, and it was in Madison. In those days, there wasn't a whole lot of light in the sky, so we could see the stars. Yeah. We just had the best time, and I remember them, boys and girls, saying to me when they went to the university, if they go to UW in Madison, they had to take a science course first year. They said, hey, sister, we signed up for astronomy, and it was a breeze because they had already learned the basic stuff, you know. So I was very proud of that, of course.
Yeah, you should be.
And I'm sorry. I passed the course on to Pat Ash, who was teaching physics in Whitefish Bay, but I don't know what happened to it.
What happened to it?
Yeah, because somebody told me lately that they were teaching a course in astronomy. I said, oh, when did you? Well, they had a textbook. We didn't have anything like that. So
yeah, were doing all the curriculum
yourself.
I did
my own thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's not the first time I've heard that, of people who graduated from Dominican institutions going on to other institutions saying, oh, I was so well prepared, or, you know, it was not as hard, or I don't know, it was stressful to start a new school, and it wasn't as stressful as it could have been. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great. I was also very fortunate. I mean, the people I live with. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much by myself at that point. I had started living in Schaumburg, so I said to Sister, I said, do you mind if I start at 9 o'clock instead of 8 or 8:30? Because traffic is so bad in Chicago. I said, I'll stay an hour extra at the other end, you know, but that was a big help that she let me do that so I could gauge my, I could get there a decent amount of time. Yes, I had something else on my mind, and now I lost it because I was talking about getting, no. Cut.
All right, cut. Cut. Let's see here. Oh.